Okay, let's start. The Kiddush story says in the Pasuk, says here in the Pasuk, Pasuk Ches, the Kiddush that you should do. This is the famous mitzvah. The mitzvah of sanctifying the Kohen, the mitzvah to sanctify the Kohen, the Kohen should, we learn from here that you should, the Kohen goes first. B'chol davar shebikidusha, benching, the first aliyah. There are other examples, I don't even know what they are, but anything that comes to a matter of...
When he's waiting
online, that's not davar shebikidusha. If you go into a takeout store, you go into a...
He wants to go to the mikveh first.
That's an interesting idea. You're saying something very interesting. If he wants to go into the mikveh, is there a din the kiddush to letting him go to the mikveh first? Is going to the mikveh mitzvah? Interesting question. It's a really good question. I have to go ask a big rabbi. Ask him the lumnus. Is there a din the kiddush allowing the kohen to go to the mikveh first? Very good question. I like it. Okay, whatever it is, the kiddush you shall sanctify him. Ki eslechem lekechu makriv. Should you give a kohen the kibbut to light the fire, the dleika? If a lag baomer lechvoid Rashbi, is it a mitzvah? Maybe it's an aver.
Yeah, it brings chil Shabbos. I don't know.
Chil Hashem. Okay, v'kiddush toy. Is there a mitzvah? V'kiddush toy. Is there a mitzvah? V'kiddush toy. Why? Ki eslechem lekechu makriv. Because he, the kohen, is offering the bread of Elokecha, your God, who makriv. Kadosh yihye loch. This individual shall be holy to you, ki kadosh, because who I am holy. Ani Hashem mekadishchem. He shall be holy because I am holy. I am Hashem, the one that has made you holy. Now notice in this passage the word kadosh appears many times. One, the kiddush day. Number two, kadosh. Number three, ki kadosh. That's three. That's great. One, two, three, and then Mikadishchem is four. Four times in one pasuk they say the word Kadosh. Rashi pasuk Ches says, V'kidash that you shall sanctify the Kohen. Al Karachoy against his will. Shalo Ratzel Ligarsha. Halkeu V'asreu Ad Sheigarish Sheigarish. Here, he's continuing. Rashi here is learning that this is the continuation of the previous pasuk. The previous pasuk tells us that a Kohen is not allowed to profane himself to marry a woman who's a Zoyna Chalala. A woman that a Kohen is not allowed to marry is a violation. So here the Pasuk is telling us that you have to sanctify the Kohen against his will. If he violates the law and he marries a Gerusha, you have to force him to divorce his wife. Again, the Rashi, Al Korach against his will, Shim Loiratza Lagarsha. If a Kohen is married to a woman to whom he's not allowed to be married and he does not want to divorce her, Hal Keyu, take out a whip, beat him up. The Asreyu, and chastise him, actually Garish, until he divorces this woman. Then it says, Kadosh Yihi Yeloch, he shall be holy, Kadosh, he shall be holy, Nohoig by Kedusha, you shall deal with him in a holy manner, Liftoyach Rishon B'choldover, he goes first. Rashi here says that he's the first one. Notice Rashi does not mention, when I told you, that only when it comes to matters of holiness. If you're in the store, and there's a line, let's say you happen to meet him in Burger King, and he's waiting online to buy some burgers, so there's no din of the kiddush toy. Is that really the halacha? Rashi over here says that noy by kedusha liftoyach rishon b'chol davar ulevarech rishon b'su'uda. Why is Rashi coming to add that? Isn't that included in b'chol davar? So he says he's the first one to make the bracha. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean birchas hamazon? What does Rashi here mean? I don't know. Does it mean birchas hamazon that he's the one that has the rights to lead, or does it mean that he's the first one to make the hamaitzi? You should mechabe the kohen to make the hamaitzi.
You know, he has to wash first.
He has to. You let him wash first, right? That's mentilas yadayim. But it doesn't say over here. It says,
so you think you'd let him wash, and then everybody would wash? So it sounds to me that he has to wash and make a bracha right away.
Not right away. We know the way it works is that one person that makes the bracha on behalf of everyone, and the suda. All right, whatever it is. Here we have over here this halacha regarding two principles that Rashi has taught us, that if a kohen is in violation of the halacha, the Beis Din will force him against his will to divorce the woman he's not be married to. Number two is that you shall treat him with sanctity. And the sanctity is that he gets to go first. What are the parameters? That's a very complicated halacha, different opinions. I think halacha l'maisa, the hapsak halacha, is you only have to be mechaber a kohen to do matters of kedusha. Like they ask this in the yeshiva. In yeshiva, you have a class, and everyone goes to the lunchroom, and you have in the class kohanim. Do the students who are Yisraelim have to allow the students who are kohanim to cut the line and to go to the front of the line? Does a kohanim get first rights to get the vaccine? Do kohanim, is there such a halacha? Do the kohanim, let's say they would go, now it's a free for all. But when they were guidelines, do kohanim in Eretz Yisrael, you know, there are Jewish communities in Eretz Yisrael, there are Haredi communities in Bnei Brak. Do the people there say kohanim come first? Anyone in the room of kohen, you get the vaccine first. Is there such a halacha? L'chayre not. The halacha of the kiddush halacha l'maisel applies when it comes to davar shel kedusha, when it comes to getting an aliyah, when it comes to leading the birchas hamazon, when it comes to matters of kedusha, then will the kohen go first? Now let's see the Targum. Targum pasuk over here says pasuk ches.
Rabbi.
Yes.
Rabbi.
Yes.
Ask for his anoint, and it refers to the shulchan aruch, so not only blessing but making a bracha too.
Right, making a bracha. So making a bracha is a mitzvah. Making a bracha, he's the first one. He has the rights to make the blessing on behalf of the tzibur, on behalf of the family. If you have a guest, we don't do that. No one does that. No one does. If you go and you invite a guest, and you could be mechubed with making the hamitzi on the bread, because in your I'll tell you this is a very important principle. In your home, these rules do not apply. This is basic halacha.
Uh-huh.
The laws of the kiddush apply in a dining room. If you're in a dining room, okay, a public space, and one person is going to recite the Birchas Hamitzi on behalf of everyone else, then the kohen, there's a mitzvah to mechabe the kohen to go first. But in your private home, these laws do not apply. To the degree, listen to this, to the degree that if you have a private shul, if you have a shtibel, if a person... Okay, a person has your phone is ringing, even at home it's going off here. If a person has a private shul, okay, a shtibel, or any private shul, according to the letter of the law, you do not have to give the first aliyah to a kohen. You can give the first aliyah to whoever you want. This law that a Kohen goes first, and then a Levi, and then a Yisrael, only applies in a public Beis HaKnesses. In a private Beis HaKnesses that is owned by a single person, the halacha does not apply. You can do whatever you want. And in fact, in certain Hasidic Kehilos, I told Rabbi Shmuel, he's a spink, he told me that when there's a chosan, they don't do this here, but he says in spink, in the real, I don't know which one, because there are a lot of spinks, but certain chassidim, when there is a chosan, they give the chosan the first aliyah. Oh, they're a kohanim. Too bad for them. There's no din v'kidashtoi. V'kidashtoi only applies in a public setting, in the privacy of your own home. If you have a private shul, the law does not apply. According to the halacha, you can take the first aliyah for yourself, whoever you want. You do not need to give the kohen the first aliyah. Now, I'm sure you're aware that this is not acceptable today. This does not go on. Today, in every private shul in the world, you're not going to go give the first aliyah to whoever you want, because it's Atzmai shul. That's not the way it works today. Today, no matter what, the first aliyah goes to the Kohen, Levi, Yisrael. But according to the technical halacha, the letter of the law, that's not the way it goes. The first, in the private setting, you do whatever you want. Okay, let's go further. Now, let's see over here what it says over here in the Targum. Targum over here says the pasuk ches, Use kadeshine, you shall sanctify him, areyos kurban elokochu mikarev, because he is offering the carbon of Hashem, Kaddish Yehilachi shall be holy to you. Arei Kaddish Ano Hashem Mikaddishchem, because I am holy. I Hashem are holy. Now, what does all this mean? Let's see if we have some insight. And there's nothing. There's no comment. He does not have any comment. The Matzari. So we'll go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Tes. Pasuk Tes goes to a new halacha. Pasuk Tes talks about the halacha, a special halacha about a daughter of a kohen who commits adultery. So she suffers the most severe form of death. There are four different types of misas bezdin. There is strangulation, chenek, and then there is hereg, which basically means decapitation, which means they use a sword. I'm not exactly sure what if they mamish decapitated the person or they slit his neck. It's very graphic. And then there is skila, where the person will be thrown off a three-story building and will die from the impact of the fall. And if he did not die from the impact of the fall, they would throw stones on top of his body. And then there's the fourth type of death, which is considered to be the most severe, and that is called sreifa. What is sreifa? So the Gemara is a very long drash in the Sefer Sanhedrin. Sreifa is they tie something or a band around a person's neck, and they force the neck open, and they pour down the throat molten lead. Molten lead is pouring down the throat of a person, and the person dies from the burn. From the burn, and I guess some suffocating in the burn of this molten lead. This is the most severe form of death. Now, if a woman commits adultery, what is her penalty? Let us say she is warned. She is warned, do not do this. And the witnesses testify, they warn her, and she says, "That doesn't matter, I'm going to do it anyway," and she's put to death. What is the form of her punishment? Chenek, the lowest level. The lowest level is strangulation, which basically means that they close her passageway of air, and she basically suffocates to death very quickly. That is called chenek. That's an ordinary situation. However, if a woman is the daughter of a kohen, and she is married, and then this means the first part of marriage, she had erusin but did not have nisuin, and she commits adultery, so she gets the most severe form of death called sreifa. And that's the pasuk where it says, "Ubas ishka," the daughter of a kohen, "ki seichel liznois." The word seichel means, this is a very hard word to translate. Seichel means that she begins, like haschola, the beginning, liznois, to commit adultery. Esoviyahi michaleles, she has profaned her father. It is a disgrace for her father that her daughter went and did this terrible thing. But HT Sarev, she should be burnt in fire. Now what does this mean? Pasuk test in Rashi. Rashi says, Kisechel is nice kishe tishalel al yidei zinus. So Rashi is teaching us the word kisechel is short for the word chalala. Chalala means profane. To take something which is holy and to make it mundane, like lashon of choil, hamavdil bein kodesh lechol, separate between holy and mundane. So the word seichel with the suff in the beginning changes the grammar, which means to make something mundane. Seichel, you make something mundane. And how did she do this? How did she take her sanctity and profane it, liznois, by committing adultery? When she profanes her sanctity through committing adultery, what is the case? She was connected. The word zika means that she has a connection to a husband, vizansa, and she committed adultery. Now, I say I made a mistake. Okay, I told you only the first part of marriage. Rashi says not like that. Maybe there's another amount of them, or maybe I'm remembering them correctly. But Rashi clearly says that she commits adultery by oy or vizonsa or min ho erisin. Either she only had the first part of marriage or min hanesuin. Fine. But I was saying nechlu b'dover v'kol moedim shlo diber oy. So I was right. It's not. It's a machlokes in the Gemara. I mean, now it's coming back to me. The memories. There are two opinions. One opinion says that she gets sreifa only if she's an arusa. And the other opinion says just the opposite. She only gets sreif if she's a nesua. But if she's an arusa, then she gets the regular penalty of death of chenek. So there's a machlokes in the Gemara of Rabbi Seinu, our rabbis nechleku b'dover, they disagree which one of the stages of marriage is she punished with sreifa if she commits adultery, the most severe form of death. But v'akol ma'idim, everyone is of the agreement. Shaloi diber hakosa b'penuya. We are not discussing here a woman that's not married, that lives with a man. A woman who's not married and lives with a man will not be punished with death under any condition, and certainly not with sreifa. Now the pasuk over here says, "Is avia he mechalalis," when she does this act of adultery when she's married, chidala ubizaso es kavaydai. It's a very powerful pasuk teaching of an obligation a child has to their parent, especially a daughter of a kohen everyone looks up to the Kohanim as being special people. And when the people see the family, the daughter of the Kohen, she does such a terrible Avera, they right away blame the parents. So she has profaned and has disgraced the honor of her father. She'oymrim olav, they say upon him, shezo yolat, cursed is this person, look what he produced. Oror shezo yigida, look at this child that he raised. This is an amazing passage, because today we live in America, we live in the world today, where everyone believes, I could do whatever I want. I have no obligations to anyone but myself. I do whatever is good for me. Whatever is good for me, I do. I don't care about anyone else. You learn from this principle that a person, you just can't do what you want to do. You have to understand that there are consequences for other people. You're part of a community. And if a person decides, I don't really believe in all this, I don't like this, all right, so good for you, you don't believe in it. But still, in the meantime, just behave yourself and go through the motions, because by you doing things you're bringing a disgrace to someone else. And that's not right. You have no right to do that. Just because you feel you're a different person and you feel that it's not for you, fine. Wait for the right time to make your departure. At this moment in time, when if you're going to go make your departure and do something really ugly, people are right away going to go and insult your parents. That's a problem. That's a real halacha in the Torah. It's a ferish pasuk right here. Esavihi mechalalas. You see people today, they don't care about this pasuk. I've seen people that have done outrageous things, totally outrageous things, and they say, listen, that's who I am. That's who I am, and I couldn't kid, and I have a right. We live in America, it's a free country. I can do whatever I want. Don't go give me mussar. I have a right to whatever I want. Tell me, what about your parents? Did they abuse you? Did you take revenge? No. My parents are wonderful, wonderful, wonderful people. They never lift a finger to me. They gave me everything I want. They supported me. They're sympathetic to me. They love me. I love them. I have no problem with my parents. Don't you realize that if you're going to engage in this behavior, it's you're causing your parents agmas nefesh. You're causing them to be disgraced in the community? I know, but I come first. I come first before my parents. I'm also a person. No, you don't come first. You don't come first. You want to do it? Wait. There'll be a time in your life when your parents won't be around, the situation will change, and you'll do whatever you want to go do. But at this juncture in your life, just as a human being, even if you don't want to follow the rules, you have a duty not to be mevaza your parents. The goyim, Esav, was a baki mufluk in the laws of kibud avoim. Esav was a rotzeach. Esav was a menaif. Esav was an oyver avodah zarah. Esav did every avera in the book. B'liyotze min haklal. But Esav understood that you're not mevaza your parents. That he understood. He said, I'm going to wait, I'm going to murder Yaakov. You know, you learn from Esav. Esav, I'm going to murder Yaakov. Yaakov stole my bechorah. I'm going to murder him in cold blood. I can't wait for the day. But I have to wait. I have to wait for my parents to die before I do it. I don't want to give the Nagmas Nefesh. If Esav understood that principle, how come we don't understand that principle? Okay, so there are many things in life you just go through the motions because you have responsibilities to other people that your responsibilities to other people is outside the framework of religion. It's just about basic humanity, being a human being. As Savihi Mechalos, the Torah says, is an incredible insight into this pasuk. All right, now let's go further over here in the Targum. Targum over here says, this we're going to have over here some fun with this Targum. Targum over here says, Abbas Gevarkon, the daughter of a man who is a Kohen. Okay, he's an Ish Kohen. Arei Ti Tachal. If this woman, now notice here, he says the word titachal. What does that word mean? Rashi clearly defined the word ki seichel to mean to profane. The word seichel comes from the word choil, mundane. And putting a suf before the word chel and putting the vowels the way we have it means to engage in the activity of taking something which is holy and making it mundane. She's a holy woman. She comes from a holy family, which we have big expectations. And she takes that sanctity and defiles it. So he says, that's called seichel according to Rashi. Profane. Here the Targum says with titachal. We have to see what that means in one moment. Limite, that's znus. Now notice znus means limite lo metaltalin, to stray, like a stray dog, to stray. He say chel znus means she has titachal. It appears the Targum is not going to learn like Rashi. We'll see in a moment. Mikidushas avuha, from the sanctity of her father, he mitachalo. She, we have a new word here. Here it says the word tachalo. She has become profane. Everyone agrees that this word michaleles means she has profaned herself. As of he michaleles, okay? As of he, she has profaned her father. Okay? Benura in the fire, titokad, she shall be burnt. Now let's see over here what's really going on. Here on the side, okay, ma'atzar, hopefully you can see it. It says over here, titachal. So I don't know anything about Aramaic. I trust everyone who says the ma'atzar. And he's the word titachal means tischalal, tischalel. The word titachal in Aramaic is equivalent to the word profaning in Hebrew, which is exactly what Rashi said. Ein tachal l'shoin haschola. Don't make a mistake and think it means to begin. Like a maskil, to begin, haschola. Kedas rabim, like many of the commentators. Shehevi ha ibn Ezra, uchaperish Rebbe b'Gemara. Okay, it's even in the Gemara, Rabbeinu HaKadosh in the Gemara, Rebbe, which Rebbe is this in the Gemara? I'm not sure which Gemara, Sanhedrin. So he says that's not the pshat. Elo l'shoin chilul, profane ayin Rashi. Haradak nistapik, im amila teichel perusha shechila acherim. Now, we have some grammatical things to discuss. Does it mean that she profaned others? V'amil hi mibinyan hifil, to cause. Oy she perusha shehi atzma nischalala. V'amil hi mibinyan nifal, yourself. Av al pi shehoi yitzach loymar teichal. Then it should not be teichel. It's hard to see here, but it's a patach. It's two dots and one dot. It should be teichal, not teichel. V'zu das unkelis. Okay, with derech zu mamshach unkelis lefarisha pasuk ayin lekamon. Let's go. We have to go further. What does he mean? Let's just read a little bit further. Let's go right further. We're going to come back and explain the whole thing 1 second. Limit a. Okay, that means to do znus. There are different words for znus. Mikdushas avuhoi hi mischala. Kasav hatoras chayim. We're going to come back to the first unkelis in one moment. Let's see what he explains over here. It's going to tie. The two are going to be tied together. It says here in the Torah Sachayim, and in the Sefer in Sech Zanejim near the Pashto Krop, as Avihi Mechalolos Eina Kavona Shoyim Molecha Oru Shizu Yolat. Ooh, he's coming over here to argue on Rashi. Oru Shizu Gidel. El Lefi Shabbas Koin Yeshla Mikudusha Savia Shechelis Vichuma Vikachim. Oops, sorry, 1 second, I lost the place over here. Okay. And she eats from Kachim. And the Ayde has the noise of law has Rav Halachayim, who yates the Bahrain. The Ayde has no seen Chaleles Atzma Mikidusha Sevilla. She can no longer eat Truma. She can no longer eat the Zroy and the Lachan Viakeva. Lakacham Akos of Zavihim is Chaleles Perish. He Michaleles is Atzma Mikidusha Sevilla. She cut herself off from her father's sanctity. The Chaintigunus Behedia. The Ayn Klichem the Shahitsev Sheh. The Kitsesi es o ir shabusha min o ir. Vitirgim amila mechalela shipoil ki ilu chaisa nifal. Umutsanu dugmas lzeb betargumai mazria zera shelo yadulish. Okay, so let me explain to you what's going on over here very quickly. It's a very beautiful, we have over here a home run. Our goal here is the opposite of what we say in davening. Talmidei Chachamim Marbim Shalom Ba'olam. The goal here is to make machloikis, is to make war between the different opinions. And here we scored a home run to wedge a major disagreement between Rashi and Unkelus. Let's read the pasuk again. The pasuk over here says, "Bas Ish Kohen Ki Seichel is nice." So everyone here is in agreement. Everyone is in agreement that both Rashi, this they agree on, Rashi and Unkelus. The word here, Seichel, means profane. Now, if you leave the page of Rashi and Unkelus and you study all of the other commentators, you're going to note, and even in this in the Gemara, remember that the Gemara talks about this, is that they all disagree. And they all are of the opinion that the word Ki Seichel means to begin, a new beginning. This woman, she turns over a new leaf in life. Unfortunately, it's not a very good leaf. She turns over a new life where she's engaged in forbidden activity. She begins to commit adultery, liznois, to stray and do things that are not befitting her sanctity. That's what everyone else says. But Rashi and the Unkelus, they agree that it's not what it means. It means here that a woman, she profanes herself by committing adultery, by engaging in activity. She is taking her sanctity and she is damaging the sanctity. Now, the truth is, what I just told you is not so simple, because it's not, there really is a machlokes between Rashi and Unkelus, even if we agree that the word seichel means profane. And the difference is, according to Rashi, the word seichel is hifel, which means she engages in an activity to cause someone else's sanctity to be profaned. Not hers, someone else's. According to Unkelus, it means it's Lashon Nifal, which means she damages her own sanctity. Now, this nuance between does the word seichel is a lashon hifil or is a lashon nifal, does it mean that she's causing someone else's sanctity to be profane, or does it mean that she's causing damage to her own sanctity, is going to be highlighted in the next expression. Because the next part of the pasuk actually explains these words. Here it says, es oviyahi michaleles. Now, what do those words mean? Machloikis, Rashi, and Unkelus. Rashi learns that since the word kisechel means she causes others, here it means esovia hi mechaleles, she is causing her father to be profaned. And Rashi couldn't be more explicit. Rashi says people go over, the people behind the father's back, they say, look at this parent, look at this father, Look at the witch that he raised. Look at this terrible daughter. Look at his children. What kind of parent is he? Look at this. How could it be that he raised a daughter that engages in such forbidden activities? It must be that he's also a rotten apple, and here he's just coming out, and that's not true. The father may be a very holy person, maybe a very good person, and no one knows why these things happen. Why the person's child strayed. But when this daughter, she goes and she strays, she's causing insult to her father. People no longer hold her father in high esteem. Her father's sanctity has been diminished, has been profaned. Unkelus disagrees. Unkelus says, we're not discussing what they're going to say about her father behind his father. We couldn't care less. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but names... I don't remember the nursery rhyme. Sticks and stones and big ones, but names can do no harm, whatever it is. That's not what it means. It means here that she has profaned herself from the benefits that come to her through her father. If one day a guy walks into the house and says, Rabbi Cohen, here you go. I got some delicious truma to give you. Some exotic wine. Some exotic fruits. I just slaughtered an animal. The law is you're supposed to give the Kohen the tongue and the right leg and the stomach. Here, Rabbi, here's a tongue. Cost in Glamar, a tongue costs 60, 70 bucks. Here you go. So now this little girl in the house, this girl asks, oh, tonight we're having tongue for dinner. You don't have a right. What do you think this is? It's not yours. This is the manas kahuna. The truma, you don't get it. Let's even kachem. The father can bring him kachem. There's certain all these different things, benefits that go to the father because he is a kohen and his whole family is permitted to eat these things. But if this woman goes ahead and she commits adultery, she engages in forbidden behavior, that's it. She's done. She's cut off from the holiness of her father. Her father's holiness is the way it was yesterday. Nothing changed. What we're concerned about, what people are going to say. Who cares what they say? Well, you're always going to watch your back, what they're saying about you, behind your back. If you live like that, you won't be able to survive a day. People always say nasty things behind your back. That's not what it's about over here. It's about something practical. Your father gets benefits by being a Kohen. He gets truma, he gets kachim. And the daughter is able to also enjoy those benefits, being that she is the child of the father. But by her now committing adultery, or her engaging this activity, and now let's say she gets divorced, she comes back home, under ordinary circumstances, she would benefit from these, she would also be able to receive benefits. By doing this, she has profaned herself from the sanctity of her father, and she's cut off. So we have a fundamental machlekes between Rashi and the uncle is how to teach the word, these words. Uvas ishkoyin ki sechel iznos. She profanes herself in znos. Question. Does the word sechel mean she profanes her father or she profanes herself? It's machlekes. And the pasuk elaborates. Es ovirihi michalos. What does that mean? Machlekes. Uncle says that she, you have to read the words a little backwards. She is michaleles herself from the sanctity of her father. She's no longer entitled to receive benefits. Rashi, we're not discussing that. That's a consequence, but that's not what the pasuk is discussing. Rashi really says that what she has done, she causes her father's sanctity to be diminished. People no longer have respect for her father. They said that if this man raised a daughter that engages in such activity, it must be the father is a phony. The father was doing averos behind closed doors, and it just trickled down to his daughter. So he, ba'esh titzref, and she should be burned in fire. Okay, so we have over here succeed in creating a major machlek between Rashi and Unkelus. Now let's go further. The next part of the Rashi. That's it. He doesn't want to talk about burning. Good. Let's go pasuk yud. Next pasuk. A few more minutes. Now we go now to another halacha. Of our Kohen HaGadol, we now talk about the Kohen Gadol. Kohen Gadol is the holiest Jew in Klal Yisrael, and the Kohen Gadol is not allowed to contaminate himself to the dead, even for 7 relatives. We learned yesterday, the day before, we spent 2 days on this, that a Kohen Gadol is allowed, a regular Kohen, is not allowed to contaminate to the dead. Dvarim Pshutim Admar, everyone knows this. But a regular Kohen is allowed to contaminate to his 7 closest relatives, father, mother, son, daughter, brother, sister, and a wife. Okay, we had all the discussion when is a wife in the pasuk or is wife only derived via a drasha. But a regular Kohen can contaminate himself to the 7, is permitted to contaminate himself only to 7 relatives and nothing more than that. What about a Kohen Gadol? Nobody. A Kohen Gadol is so holy, not only may he not contaminate to an ordinary person, he may not contaminate himself even to his 7 relatives. The only one that a Kohen Gadol is allowed to contaminate to is a Meis Mitzvah. There's no one else willing to do it, he can do it. Even though he is the Kohen Gadol, even though he cannot contaminate to his mother and father, a Meis Mitzvah is even greater. He can do that. That's the only exception. And here's the pasuk that teaches Allah of Kohen HaGadol, the Kohen HaGadol, Me'echav, Asher. What makes him greater? Yitzak al Roshoy, they poured, it was poured upon his head, Shemra Mishcha. The Shemra Mishcha, Umile Yes Yodoy. And this is an expression. This is a very, you know, the Torah doesn't have too many expressions. Maybe it does, I don't know. I don't believe it's so often you find the Torah using idioms. You don't find idioms in the Torah too often. But here you do. Here it says, Umilei es yodoy. What does it mean, Umilei? Umilei, he fills up his hand. What does that mean, Umilei es yodoy? He fills up his hand. It means he achieves a position. He was appointed. He worked hard and he rose up in the ranks to the point where he was deserving to serve in the role as the Kohen Gadol. Umilei, it's a very beautiful expression because what it's really telling over here is the Kohen Gadol is only appointed to merit. Affirmative action and nepotism. Good, nepotism also. Okay, we have a very big problem in our society where everything today is affirmative action or nepotism. What about merit? Merit? Who cares about merit? Who gives a hoot about merit? It's who you know, not what you know. Okay, it's who you know, it's not what you know. It's nepotism, it's affirmative action. We live in a very frightening world. Look, you go, United Airlines makes an announcement with no shame whatsoever that the 50% of the pilots that they're going to train are going to be African Americans. Black men, women, people of color. We don't care if merit. They can be the bottom of the barrel. The bottom of the barrel. The color of the skin is what will grant them the right to fly that airplane. Really, merit doesn't count. That's exactly what them. So you know what that means. United Airlines told you that the next time you fly, give a couple of years until it all trickles down, another 2-3 years. The next time you go on a United airplane, if there's an emergency, or maybe even not an emergency, the pilot in the plane will not have the skills to save your life. Because he's going to fly the plane based on the color of his skin, not based on merit. He doesn't deserve to be. That's what they said. Am I making this up? So I told this to someone who works in the medical field, and he says to me, well, let me tell you a little secret, that is, there's affirmative action and there's corruption going on in medical school where they teach surgery. So the people who are being given the slots to become surgeons is not based on merit. It's based on the color of their skin. So one thing, a person is scheduled to surgery because, you know, he looks for the best doctor. Okay, but what happens if a person in the middle of the night, there's an emergency, they wheel him into a hospital and they have to go do surgery now and the only surgeon is the one that's on the floor, the one that's there. Guess what? He's only there because of the color of his skin. He doesn't deserve, he doesn't have the merit, he doesn't have the skill. And it'll cut the person up and kill him. Okay? Isn't that what this country has come to? They're not even embarrassed to say this in public, these people. Here, there's an amazing, amazing post. The Torah was Yoreh L'sev Da'ita Shel Adam. It says here, Umilei Es Yodoy. You know what that means? It means merit. He filled up his hand. It's an expression. He deserves to be the Kohen Gadol. It's not nepotism. It's not who you know. It's not the color of his skin. It's he filled up his hand. He worked hard. He filled it up. It was his effort, his skill, his Yirah Shamayim that got him into that position. That's what the word immediately. Torah didn't have to say this. Torah could have just said, little boy, what do you need these words for? Get rid of them. Umilias Yado, just say, they pour on his head the Shemna Mishcha. Little boy Shasabugadim, he wears a nice fancy clothing, the Shemani Bugadim. So the Torah says, oh, the Kohen Gadol, Esroisha lo Yifrov, Gov lo Yifrov, that he may not observe Avelus for his 7 relatives. What do you need this words, Mila Yasiyadoi, for? Torah went out of its way to teach you a lesson. Listen, whatever they do in America, good for them. But in Klal Yisrael, merit counts. And don't ever forget that. Umilei esila, it's a powerful pasuk. Pasuk, yud, ratzi over here, the Rashi. Rashi over here says, only one will Rashi, lo yifra. So what is the rule about this person? Lo yifra, he may not, it says here, he may not yifra. What does yifra mean? He may not let his hair grow long. A regular kohen is not allowed to do avodah unless he had a haircut within the last 30 days. A kohen gadol who did not have a haircut within the last 30 days is not permitted. I guess they check off all the check marks. Did you get the vaccine? Were you tested for chlestesh? Did you have a haircut within 30 days? Okay, they check off all the check marks before they let the kohen do avoda. And one of them is he has to have a haircut within 30 days. So if you have more than 30 days without getting a haircut, it's called yifra. It's called his roish was yifra, loose. He let his hair grow long. So it says lo yifra lo yigadol pera. He may not grow long hair al avel, over a mourner. He's not allowed to do that because kohen gadol is not allowed to do this even for his seven closest relatives. Ve'ezehu gidol pera. What's called gidol pera? Yoiser mishloishim yom, more than 30 days. He may not do that. And in fact, Chazal said the kohen gadol got a haircut every single day. He got a haircut, so he should look beautiful. And I don't think anyone really knows. Everyone is extremely perplexed what this means. I never really saw a good answer to explain what this. Something that we really do not know. What exactly this means, that every single day he got a haircut and they cut the hair in a certain way. No one knows what this means. Whatever. Now let's see what it says over here. It says over here in the Targum, and then we'll call it quits. Okay, Pasuk Yod. The yis rabba me achoihi, that is greater than his brethren. The yitorah al reishe, that has been yitorah. It's a very interesting word. That has been poured on his head. Mishcha derivusa, the shemen hamishcha. The dikorev yos kurbonei. Now this is very what I told you. Umilei es yodoi. So he learns here, he brought a korban. Woo! What does that mean exactly? Let's see. Lemilbash yos levushai, to wear the clothing. Yos reisha lo yirabei perua. Ulevusho, his clothing lo yivazai, may not rip his clothing to rice kuya. Okay, we're out of time, but let us quickly peek and see what he says over here, what it means over here. The Yisrael Me'achohi, okay, he's great. That's not the point. Let's just see over here what it means over here. We're out of time, but let us see what this one thing. V'di korev yos korbonei. V'asho yakrif korban. What's going on? L'shoin osid v'ozvav shal milim milay me'apechas avar l'osid. That's Unklis. According to Unklis, hamila asher nimsheches kamkain v'chi l'kos v'asher Milias Yadav Yakavona, Karban Minchas Chinuch, Vechein Pinchas Scheinberg. He sees, quoting from a modern day thinker, a Gaon of Chaim Pinchas Scheinberg, he says it means that the Targum learns is a special Karban when a Kohen becomes Gadol, when a Kohen is appointed to become a Kohen Gadol, he brings a special Karban. And according to Unkelis is teaching umilei es yadoi to mean that he offered the special korban that the kohen gadol is required to bring on the day of his inauguration. V'chein derech Unkelis atagim called milu yad. Wherever you have in Chumash the word milu yad, it means you fill up your hands. It's an expression. It doesn't appear to be taken literally, because when you bring a carbon, what does it mean you fill up your hands? What does that mean, you fill up your hands? What does that mean? Doesn't mean anything. It's an expression, which the Targum tells us that the tradition, the Messiah, for the word Milei Es Yadai, to bring a special sacrifice. Now, Udeloi Kerashi. Rashi over here didn't say anything in our Pasuk. Sheperash Kol Milui Yodayim Loshen Chinuch, training. it's more in line with what I was trying to tell you. It means that this Kohen has been trained. Miluyat, he got it 100 on the exam. Because the word Miluyat means he did it himself. He excelled in his training. He got an A in the class. He graduated at the top of the class. He filled up his hands in practice, not in offering a special karbon. Okay? Udaloi Karashi in the Gemara, Shapirash Umile Es Yodel Lashon Ribui Bigde Kuhuna, but over here it says he wore the clothing. Okay, so that what it says in the Gemara can't possibly be over here, because over here it says, in addition to Miliyat, he wore clothing. So we have another home run, another machlaikis. You see, instead of being Marber Shalom, with Marber Machlaikis, another machlaikis in Rashi and Unkelis in the Pshuta Shal Mikra. What does it mean here? Umile es yodai lilbosh es habagadon. Does it mean that he wore special? Does it mean that he brought off a special korban, or does it mean umiluyad means that he was trained? He succeeded in his training to be deserving to wear the big day kohuna. All right, we're going to stop here. Thank you for coming tomorrow. We're going to do bli neder sidur. We're up to the bracha refa'in. We're up to the 8th bracha. And yiritz Hashem will do tomorrow. Tomorrow's lag ba'omer. So we should have a shiur tomorrow. I don't think any problem. Okay, we'll have a shiur tomorrow. Bli neder, 7:15 o'clock on the sidur. Thank you very much for coming. Have a wonderful evening.
Shkoyach. Norman, how you doing?
Good night, Ablazer. Good night, Mr. and Mrs. Glatter. Norman, good night.